Good Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Man, let's just spend our hearts to him. Lord Jesus. Lord, we come into your presence at times like this, Lord. It's just hard for us to find words, Lord, how to tell you that we love you and to thank you. Lord, as we come to you today as a people, Lord, redeemed by your blood and walking in this world with many trials and tribulations that come our way, Lord, we know, we believe that you are the answer to every situation that we come across, Lord. This morning, Lord, we're just asking that you allow us to look into your word. Lord, that you'd speak to every heart. Lord, come and break the bread of life this morning. Lord, speak to every heart, every life, even those who are streaming. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would go to that place where they're at now. Bless each one, Lord Jesus. Have your way today. Give glory to yourself. Ask in Jesus' name. Scriptures this morning, if you have your Bibles, open Matthew chapter 6. Again, Matthew chapter 6. Begin reading at verse 9. We read this chapter last night. Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, notice he says after this manner. He doesn't say pray this prayer, but he says pray after this manner, right? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 19. Those are very familiar scriptures to us. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. One more scripture reading in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers of things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we love you. Just pray, God, that you take these words this morning and that you would break them. Like you multiplied the fishes and the loaves, Lord, we pray that you would do the same with your word today. And minister it out into every heart, young and old. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. may be seated. I want to title this morning, "The Perfect Realization Brings Us to the Lord's Prayer." Perfect realizations. We say it this way: a perfect realization brings our life to a life of the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Of course, perfect realization, a perfect Christian realization. I was just kind of looking up to see what a definition would be of that. And a Christian realization is coming to the terms of the truth of the Christian faith in a way that affects our belief, it affects our actions, and it affects our worldview, how we see things, right? It is a deep personal journey that leads to spiritual growth, purpose, and a commitment to follow Christ. That's what a good, strong realization. In other words, it affects every aspect of our lives, right? And we as believers, you can't be a halfway Christian, right? As we know, there's no black white birds, or no white black birds. If you are born, you are born as a species, right? So if we're going to be born again, born as a child of God, then you're all a child of God, every part of you. It's just, as the prophet said so many times, you're not one cell is part of a chicken and one cell is part of a dog and one cell is part of a human. Every cell is human, is Christian in this case. And so it affects every aspect of our life. And as Christians, if you walk with the Lord for very long, you become convinced, you become totally 100% convinced that the Lord does all things well.
Right.
He doesn't make a mistake.
Right.
Right? And you come to the place, we can say that, but did you come to the place where you realize in your life, He doesn't make a mistake.
Right.
Right? Though you have many hardships that come your way and lots of different things, you come to the place where you're convinced that God loves you and everything He does and allows in your life is perfect.
Right.
Amen. I can't think of any scriptures that would be a better description of what we're talking about today there in Colossians where it said that basically that God came down in flesh and paid the price for us and now wants to come and live in us and that He is before all things, there wasn't anything before Him, right? He's before all things, and all things come from Him, and He's above all things, and He's the head, and that in all things, not just some things, but in all things, He can have preeminence.
Right.
And a perfect realization for Christians, we come to where we understand that He has first place in all things,
right?
Everything. So, and then there in Romans chapter 8, where it says that there is not a thing out there that could separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. How God loved us would come to this world and make a way where there was no way for us miserable creatures and make a way where there was no way.
Right.
And God did that because He loved us. And there's no way that anything out there, whether it's whatever, things past, things present, what you did before, what you'll do in the future, nothing can separate you from that love where God came down in Christ Jesus and paid the price for your sins. And so, as Christians, we become convinced of that. And so, we want to ask ourselves this morning, we should ask ourselves, am I a son or daughter of God? If you're a sister, you'd be sons also. You know, we're all in that category. But ask yourself, am I a son of God? And if I am, how would I know? How would you know if you're a son of God? Because we come into this world, and we all come into this world, we have a fallen nature, and the first thing you know, we're chasing after worldly things, and we start lying and cheating and all kinds of things. We all do it, right? We've everyone done that.
Right.
In our and so we're like that. Well, you know that's not a life that's conducive to a God who's perfect and righteous and holy, right? So we're walking along. Something has to happen in our lives to begin to tell us that we're different.
Right.
Right? Something has to happen. You can't just keep going on that way. Something has to begin to deal with you and begin to work with you and begin to reveal to you that you are a child of God.
Right.
We understand that if you are a child of God, God is responsible for raising you.
Right.
If God wants you to come to a certain statute in Him, a certain condition in Him, how are you going to get there if He never tells you anything? He never gets involved. So I want you to understand that as you go through things in life and as you're going along and troubles and trials come and good things and bad things, like the song said, in the good times and in the bad, right now,
right
now, every day, that when you go through good things and bad things, that you realize that that's a hand of God as He's beginning to work with your life because He has a place He wants to take you to. It's His response. It's not your responsibility to try and figure out how to get there. Right? It's His responsibility to lead you and guide you and bring you to that place where He wants you to be because you're His child. Yep. And so one of the things that you can understand to realize, hey, am I a child of God? Is if something begins to move upon you and you're not satisfied with this world.
Right?
You're not satisfied with the things this world has to offer. And you find out that you're not satisfied by everything that you chased after. You find out that none of it brings that peace of God or peace that passes all understanding. We all have to walk this road. We all have to come to that place where we realize that everything I try doesn't do it. Everything the world tries to offer doesn't do it. There's something happening that this world can't supply.
Right?
So we understand that. We have to ask ourselves. So that's how you would know, is that God would begin to deal with you. You know, a parent that loves their children will correct them. A parent that loves their children will do good things for them.
Right.
A parent that loves their children will try to bring them to the place that they want them to be, a place of security and so forth. And so we try all these things of things of this world. I've tried and they leave me empty and bare. Remember that song we sing? And so you find out that no matter what you go after, even if it's not things sinful, it's just, you know, a hobby or whatever, and you just, you know, and you find out it just leaves you empty.
Yeah.
Right.
And the reason why is because you have a spiritual need down inside you that cannot be satisfied by carnal things. It cannot be satisfied with hobbies, with sports, with money, with friends of this earth. It's something God has put there that can only be satisfied by Him.
Right?
If it could be satisfied by something else, then you'd have it would take away from as I've said so many times recently, of the infinite character of God, that He only needs one way, and He can't. And so the fact that He can't be tricked and subverted, nothing can imitate Him truly. We have many imitations, but nothing can fill the spot that only He can fill, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And so we understand that. There's that spiritual need that cannot be satisfied with carnal things. And we realize that we are more spiritual being than we are a physical being. Right? We have such a physical presence here, but in the spirit realm, you're present there too. And when this flesh is laying there and it's sick and you can't even hardly lift your hand up, you're much more spirit. Your spirit is alive and well and interacting with that spirit realm. So you are more spiritual because you're a child of God. You're more spiritual. And so the answer to the joy and the satisfaction of life, something that can make you have ultimate peace in your life, cannot come from fleshy things. This world passes away. How can we have lasting peace and joy in things of the world that's going to pass away?
Right.
What about this? We can't have peace and joy because this is going to pass away.
Right?
So we have to bring ourselves around and look at these things and realize that there is a spiritual thing that's going on in our lives, and that's God beginning to deal with us. As God calling you.
Right.
He has to get involved in your life somewhere along the way. And it would be foolish for us to just count it as, well, I did this or I did that or I got fired from my job or whatever it is that happened. If you just look at it like that, it's more than that. These things, as I said Wednesday night, our lives here with marrying and getting married and having children and all that, that's the vehicle in which something much greater is going on and happening. Right? We ought to just, we want to rise up into the spiritual realm of God and see His program and not just be stuck down here in the flesh where all we see is just the flesh failures and successes and things, because all of that's temporary.
Right.
All temporary. So it's God calling you, and nothing can satisfy that call unless you answer Him. Right? If I call your name, not going to do much good for you to answer somebody else.
Right.
You have to answer to the voice that's calling you.
Right.
And so we have to, as Christians, to realize that there's something moving in our life that's much greater, much more powerful than just natural events and things in our lives.
Right.
I've said so many times, you know, that God has access to everything in your life He can use as a tool.
Right.
To deal with you, to mold you, to make you, to call you, to draw you forth. And so worldly things cannot bring peace.
Right.
Want proof of that? How many things have we chased after and just thought we just had to have it?
Right.
And after we got it, we still don't have peace.
Right.
Yeah.
We're still not happy. Mm-hmm. So at some point, you know, when I stick my hand and touch a stove, then, you know, it burns. Well, okay. But if I do it again, there's something wrong with me.
Right.
You're supposed to learn. And so at some point, we have to begin to realize, oh, wait a minute. I try this and I still have something that's not satisfied. And that did not satisfy it. And I tried something else and that didn't satisfy it. And what you'll find out is it kind of moves over to the two trees in the garden. One's the knowledge of good and evil, that when you eat off of that tree, yeah, you'll have some good things off of it, but there's evil in it too. You cannot eat off of the good of that tree without taking in some poison with it.
Right.
And that's the thing. And so we find out that if we're looking to this world and the things of carnality, this flesh, to bring us a spiritual, long-lasting satisfaction, we are disappointed. We disappoint
right.
ourselves. We disappoint each other.
Right.
Our government disappoints us, right?
Right.
Our schools disappoint us. Our hospital system, medical system disappoint. Tell me something that man has made that doesn't disappoint you.
Right.
Because it's a flop.
Yeah.
And as we go through time, we see the worlds are falling. The whole thing's falling apart because
right.
it has to come to Him.
Right.
We're coming to a millennium where all things are going to give way to Him. That rock that's cut out of a mountain without hands, it grows into, fills the entire earth. That's what we're coming to. And everything has to give way.
Right.
This has to give way.
Right.
This has to go to the grave, or this has to be changed.
Right. Right.
And every one of us are going that way. So while that happens, then we want to understand that as we try all these different things, it leaves us without joy, without peace, not happy. And that's because you can't satisfy that call of God in your life with worldly things or with things other than coming to His voice, dealing with
right.
Him as He speaks to you. And so all these other things, you might have some temporary joy, but that's all it is. It's a temporary, cheap imitation
right.
that leaves you most of the time worse off.
Right.
Most of the time, if not all times, leaves you empty and bare, as we sing in the song.
Right.
When God's speaking to you begins, and so what I'm trying to get at is you would know you're a son of God because God begins to speak to you, begins to deal with you. The scripture says that he will bring correction to all of His children because
right.
He loves us. He does that. He does that to us. And he don't want us to go the way we want because we would destroy ourselves. I've told you many times, I'm so glad that God told me no, because there were things I wanted to do and wanted to be that I know would have been my end.
Right.
And at the time, you couldn't convince me. I was swore up and down that was the woman I should marry. And I look back now and I see what that would have been. Married and divorced 3 or 4 times or whatever, and it would have been a ruin. But God's kept that from happening. I you know, fast cars that I wanted when I was a teenager. He wouldn't let me have it because he knew I'd probably wrap myself around a tree. Right. You know, and I could go on and on and on. My whole life I look back and I see things where God said no, and I can now see that it would have been destruction for me or been bad for me.
Right.
But at the time I didn't know that. You couldn't have told me. I say hindsight, it's 2020, right? You can see really well after it's over with.
Yeah.
But at the time, you couldn't.
Right.
And I went through that so many times myself, and I imagine probably all of us could say that. We've done that. And even as Christians now, we still have this battle that we go to where we want something that we want. And instead of checking with the Lord and letting Him lead us and guide us. And so, but when God began to deal with you, you have to realize when you're not happy in this world, no matter what you do, you find out it's still not satisfied you.
Right.
But that's because something else down in there, a hunger, and you're trying to satisfy it with the wrong things, and it won't work.
Right.
It's God. And I like to put it this way. It's the gene of God down inside you trying to manifest itself, beginning to manifest itself. You realize that the genetics of a seed of a, we know how that in the parable there that, let them grow together because you can't tell. But at harvest time, then you begin to tell. You realize at harvest time, there's genetics in there all along that at some point gets triggered and now it produces fruit, right? So if we're a son or daughter of God, how does that manifest? Then you'll be walking this life, trying this, trying that, lying, cheating, stealing, all that, and you'll come to the place where you realize there's got to be something more than this. I'm not happy. I don't have fulfillment.
Right.
And you'll begin to say, well, what's the meaning of being here? What's the meaning of life? What's this all about?
Right.
It's because something down in there is beginning to come forth, beginning to try and manifest itself. That gene genetics of God down in there to bring you forth, it's wanting to come out and be what it is.
Right.
Right? That's what it wants to be. A gene trying to produce itself. And so you have to realize that even as we are sinners, right? Even as we're sinners, there's another nature down inside us laying there dormant. That's God.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
That has a dove nature or a lamb nature. It's there.
Right.
Now, we cater to the flesh, to sin, and all these things, but we come through life, and at some point, something begins to move and begins to work. That all this out here doesn't satisfy us, and there's something down inside that begins to speak to us,
right.
Begins
right.
to move right. us, move us in a direction contrary to all this out here. Amen. It's the gene of God expressing itself. And that nature down in there is the nature of a dove.
Right.
You know that a dove can't eat rotten food. Right? We understand that. We've heard this all of our lives in church. There's a Holy Spirit is a dove, and it has a certain nature about it.
Right.
And so we understand that the things that the other nature in us, the one that lies and the one that's, starts out as a baby, goo-goo, and then begins to pull sister's hair and everything. That nature is not this dove nature.
Right.
It's kind of laying there dormant. But you realize that dove nature don't want those things. That dove nature doesn't want to lie, cheat, steal.
Right.
Right.
Right? And if all your experiences is all this man-made cosmos and all, dog eat dog and all that, that might satisfy the flesh, but it'll never speak to that guy down inside that's looking for something else.
Right.
That begins to come forth at some point in your life. Something begins to speak, and God begins to deal with you. That gene's beginning to try and come forth and express itself. And that's why you're trying to find the meaning of life.
Right.
You're searching for something that only God can answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. We believe that. And so, That's a good sign that you're a son of God. And so, when we as Christians, we come to this realization and we walk with the Lord, and it brings us to this place of full understanding of God's economy and His program. And I said, like I said in the title, it brings us to the Lord's Prayer. And so We'll just kind of go through this just for a moment. It brings you to the place. Now, we understand it. Like I said at the beginning, it changes your worldview. It changes you. It changes everything now, because now you see things differently. Like I keep saying, looking through the eyes of God. Let's look through His eyes, what it's about through Him, through His eyes. Not through man's eyes, not through our own eyes, but through lives of His Word and the Holy Spirit. And so when we come to this place, this real full realization, we begin to realize that, as the Scripture says, our Father. Father.
Right.
I'm His offspring. You're His offspring.
Right.
Okay, like I said, it means that, you know, like the whole so much of the world believes that angels are sons of God. The Scripture said in Hebrews, unto which of the angels, it says, He's higher than angels, right? But He was made lower than the angels, right? To suffer death. But He was given, he was higher than the angels because He was given a name above them, because God said, unto which angel did I say, thou art my son? He didn't. He said it to Christ, but He didn't say it to an angel. And because of that, that made Him have a name higher than them, even though He was made lower than them. What about you? If you are a son or daughter of God, if you are the gene offspring of God,
right,
where do you fit in that?
Right.
Is an angel higher than you?
Nope.
You might be made lower than that, but you've got a name
that
belongs to you that's higher than that.
Right?
Higher than the angels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's more important, to have some winged angel come down from heaven and speak to you, or a son of God behind a pulpit?
Right.
What's greater?
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Right? So we're just, we'll call it what God's Word says it is. Right?
Right.
Our Father. Not just my Father, but I have to, in this, I have to realize that it's our Father. There's a family.
Right.
And if there's a family, then that means that I have a commitment to my family. Because we're blood kin, we're genetic kin, there's a tie. We're a family all underneath Him. So it's our Father.
Right.
So it's not just, well, if a person believes or they don't believe, it's about the family of God.
Right.
That's what it's about. That's what the book of redemption is about, is to save those that were there. You couldn't be redeemed back unless you was there to begin with.
Right.
See, you can't make someone be there through redemption that wasn't there to begin with.
Right.
It's sons and daughters of God that He's redeeming.
Yeah.
Right.
See, it's our Father. It brings you to understand this. I'm a child of God, and so are you.
Amen.
We're a family. We work together.
Amen.
We have common things. And the common thing among us, we might like to fish together. We might like to do this, do that, play some game or something. But the real tie between us is our Father.
Amen.
God. Mm-hmm. Right? And so now, that forces us to realize that within... Then, and I'll say it this way, then we're a royal family. Right? There's something in me different. Something in you that's different. And that's why at some point in our lives, something began to speak to us, and we weren't happy with this world. We weren't happy in all these things. Because that's the life of God beginning to come forth. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven. You know, we talk about, see, all natural type spiritual. We have natural earth here. And you can't just go up there in heaven places. You have to have some special instrument to get you there. A balloon or an airplane or something. It takes a higher understanding, a higher technology to get you up there physically. What about spiritually? The whole world, I suppose, would like to know about God, but you can't get there unless something transports you there. We sit in heavenly places in Christ.
Right.
So how can you escape this earth? You don't know the things of God unless it's the Spirit of God dealing with you.
Right.
And so as you're going along and seeing when God begins to deal with you, it's a language coming from a higher realm. It's God preparing you because He wants to lift you up and put you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So our Father, who art in heaven, our Father that dwells in a higher realm, right?
Right.
A higher realm that we can't even go there unless he somehow brings us there.
Right?
Being caught up in the Spirit of the Lord. So how will you know the things of God if you don't ever let the Spirit of God move you and transport you into that kind of thing? Then once he puts you up there, then now you can see. You can see things that you couldn't see before. Amen.
Right.
Our Father who art in heaven. That's what Brother Ram said. Heaven consists of the Word because God dwells in his Word.
That's right.
That's it. That's what he clothed himself in. He,
right.
As I told him last week, God spoke and then he wrapped himself around that Word that he spoke. He got inside it and that became the thing he created by. It was his Word and everything he did was, as we read today, all things by him and for him. That's what he did.
Man.
He dwells in his Word. You want to be in the presence of God, you get in the presence of his Word.
Right?
It makes all the difference in the world.
Yes,
can't do it without it. And so, our Father who art in heaven, holy, hallowed be thy name. As I was saying recently, you know, holy just means to be separated, set apart.
Right?
And so, but God dwells in a realm of his own.
Yes.
And nobody there but him. He alone is eternal life. He alone is holy. Jesus, when he was here, even though he was God in the flesh, he was acting out sonship, and that son has to be obedient to the Father. And Jesus himself said, hey, had to say, in that form, he had to say, there's not no one good but the Father. Right? So that shows you that we, as Christians, we have the humility to say and know, hey, there's nothing good about us. It's him. It's not me that does anything. It's him that's in me that does it. That's what Jesus said, right? That was our example. It's him in us.
Right.
And so God dwells in his Word, and if we want to be in his presence, we go up into his Word, and he's holy, set apart, and any holiness, Peter said, oh, the holy mountain. Brother Ben said, oh, wasn't the holy mountain, it was the holy God on the mountain.
Right.
It's not a holy people, but it's a holy God moving in the lives of the people.
Right.
That's it, see? And so, our Father who dwells in the Word, that we're his offspring, we come to this realization of who he is and who we are in him, and we realize that he alone has that eternal life and that stance of holiness and righteousness. We're nothing, but yet he comes through us and expresses it through us.
Right.
Our Father which art in heaven, holy is thy name. We come to realize as Christians, a realization that he has a kingdom. Right?
Amen.
He has a kingdom. He has a program. He has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not just floating around out here in space, don't know what's going to happen next week. God is moving this program of his. He's got a kingdom that will not pass away, as we mentioned a while ago. It won't pass away. And so, as we as believers, we come to the realization that everything he does is good and right, and whatever his kingdom is, we want it.
Right.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Right.
Not my will, not anybody else's. We want his will done in this earth like it is in heaven.
Right?
Right? That's what we want, and so it's been a long time since we talked about it, but how that what the prophet said, when you recognize that the Word of God is eagle food, the Word of God is eagle food,
right.
Not creeds, dogmas, whatever man does, but when you recognize the Word of God is the thing that feeds you as an eagle of God, he said, you'll leave the other thing, and he was talking about denominational systems. You'll leave the other thing. He said, when that happens, you have heard from your theophany.
Right.
You have a representation over there that is to, that you know, the scripture said, aren't the angels, aren't they all sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? Right? Hebrews. These angelic beings are to minister to them, not everybody else. So you have a representation there that is already perfect. and it's influencing you. We can. It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives, but there's a heavenly representation of God's portion of you, of who you are, that is there.
Amen.
And it's influencing our lives here. And what is it we want is, as Christians, we just want to walk here what that is. Lord, just let me be here, whatever that representation is that you have for me in that realm that's perfect and nothing, no death in it. That whatever, like the prophet said, God has a snapshot of you and he put there, nothing will ever mar that image. I just want to be that.
Right.
Amen.
While I go through trials, tribulation, when somebody slaps me, whatever happens, I just want to be that.
Right.
No matter what's going on here, let me be that.
Right.
Amen. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. I want my earthly walk just to be what that is. That perfect will there can be manifest here. Amen. Give us, he says, give us this day our daily bread. As we understand as Christians, you know, it takes all the haughtiness out of us, all being puffed up out of us.
Right.
And we realize every day
Amen. We
need him
right.
to provide our
right.
physical food, to provide our spiritual food.
Right.
To keep us safe on the highways, to keep this heart ticking.
Right.
Yeah, we realize it all comes from him, because if he just took his hand away, what do you think would happen? So we realize that we as Christians say, God, this day give me the portion that you have for me today
right.
that comes from you. I recognize that my job, I have it because you gave it. And if you take it away, then I won't have it no more.
Right?
And so we realize, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. So a Christian realizes that we transgress against the Lord.
Yeah.
Not just in past sins, but every day we fall short.
Right.
We transgress.
Right.
So a part of a daily thing is, Lord, every day, Lord, forgive us of our trespasses or our debts against you.
Yeah.
Right? That's what a Christian... So we realize from this that there's nothing about us that we can boast in whatsoever.
Yeah.
We can't say, well, bless God today, I didn't snap at anybody when they got... Or I didn't look and lust at nobody or whatever it might be. You can't... If you walk successfully in this day without transgressing the Lord... It's because he helped you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all because of his influence in your life that made
right.
the difference. And we as Christians, we realize that.
Yes.
We realize that he's the one that makes a difference in our lives. Not someone else. It's not even how hard we try. Even though, like I said, it's a vehicle that he works through. We do, we go, we're supposed to work hard, we're supposed to be honorable and all that. That's true. But unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it.
Right.
Unless the Lord's behind it. Like unless the Lord is the one that gives you a house that you're going to buy, you know, and makes it happen, right? Then you can just try all you want and not, nothing happens. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Right.
So there again is to realize, you know, that, Lord, we know we make mistakes. I'm asking God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Jesus, they asked him, how many times could you forgive your brother for sinning against you or transgressing against you? Seven times a day. He said, no, 70 times seven. So 490 times a day, if your brother makes a transgression against you, forgive him. Now, I want to ask you a question. How easy would that be? You got somebody that's a brother, and he does something to you over and over and over. 489 times in a day, 490 times in a day, what's your attitude going to be toward that brother? Was Jesus say it should be?
Right.
And it's the whole point is, as I keep saying recently, is that We can't do these things. It's Christ in us that does it.
That's right.
It's Christ in us that can help us turn the other cheek.
That's right.
Right? That's the difference. And so, but we said, Lord, forgive us, forgive us. And he says, okay, you forgive those who's done you wrong. Because if you don't, he won't forgive you. Plainly says that. So we're like, and that's why that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Well, do unto others, if you want forgiveness, make sure you forgive them.
Right.
Right.
If you want help from the Lord, make sure you're trying to help them. See what I mean? What is it all about? It's all about us expressing him to those around us and our family, our Father which art in heaven, right, to our family, to those around us, expressing God to them. And that's what he tells us.
Right.
Lead us not into temptation, because we as believers know that if it's not the presence of the Lord in our lives every day, we are going to fail.
Right.
We are. The tempter will come.
Yeah.
And because there's no boasting in man. It's all in him.
Amen.
And like I said, if we make it through a day, and everything, it's because he did it.
Right.
Because,
right.
So we as Christians, this becomes our prayer. We to say, Lord, don't send me like the children of Israel, when you read there where it's like, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us. Do not send us out there to fight that battle if your presence is not with us.
Right.
But if his presence is with you, then you say, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me as long as you're with me. So it's an attitude of Christians. This prayer, Lord's prayer, is an attitude where we understand there's nothing in us and without his help. And so we're saying, God, don't leave me today. Let your presence go with me today. Because if you don't, I might fail you. I know I will. Right? And the prophet told us that we all sin every day. We make mistakes every day. Right?
Yeah.
Therefore, we have to pray every day. Say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. And you hear the prophet sometimes when he's opening the service. You'll hear him say, Lord, if there's any sin in us, forgive us for those things. Because that's the constant nature or character of a Christian, to ask the Lord to forgive us and to forgive, help us forgive others, and to give us our daily bread and so forth. And so that he would not allow us to come into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because as Christians, we know there's evil out there all over the place.
Right.
Satan trying to get us on every hand. And so we say, God, protect us. Protect our children. Protect our church family.
Yeah.
Keep us, Lord. Keep us and protect us every day. Praying this, Lord, protect and keep us all. But most of all, most of the time, I'll say, Lord, a lot of times, I'll say, Lord, but most of all, let us be in your presence. Let us be in your presence today. Protect us on the highways. Protect us on our jobs and the machines we operate and all that. But help us to be a good example of you and touch somebody's lives. But most of all, Lord, let us be in your presence. Because
right.
when you're in his presence, right. things go a whole lot better.
Right.
Right? It has such an influence on you. You'll do better in your job and in being an expression if you're in his presence.
Yeah.
So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever.
Right.
It's all his.
Right. Amen.
It don't belong to some other government, some other, it's his.
Right.
And as Christians, we come to understand these. This is why Jesus said, pray in this manner. Because we have a realization of all these things just like that. That it's him. And we're asking him for these things to help. And so, we realize that we need him every day. Every day, because we mess up every day.
Right.
Yeah, we mess up every day. And because of that, we need to repent every day. Amen. We need to maintain a state of humility. The scripture said to consider yourself when you see someone fall. You go to that person, you restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also fall.
Right.
Right? Amen. So, you know, Jesus tells us in Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what poor people are? They need a handout or they need help. blessed, we're blessed when we come to the Lord every day and say, Lord, I need you.
Right.
If we ever get to the place where we say, well, I don't, you know, I'm fine, I'll just go to work today, I don't need to pray, I don't need to ask for his help, that's the wrong attitude.
Right.
And sure enough, going to wreck up at some moment. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we as believers, we know that we need him.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Amen. It's because if we get puffed up, think something higher of ourselves. That's what puffed up is. You've got a certain size and then try to make yourself bigger than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And when you do that, it's a form of exalting yourself above God. Because God says, this is who you are. I'm dealing with you. This, and you're trying to make yourself something more than what he has laid out for you as a believer, what you are. We don't want to puff ourselves up. We just want to be what God made us to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As I've told the young people so many times, just be yourself. Don't worry. Just be yourself. Somebody falls in love with you the way you are, then there's no surprises. But if you act different and somebody falls in love with you or think they do because you've put on a front, then you've got to put that front on your whole life. It's not going to work.
Right.
Just be
right.
yourself.
Right.
And so the Lord wants us to be that way, just to be ourselves. And so we have to repent each day. And so we all get off track every day. Every one of us, we get off track every day.
Yeah.
Don't want to. Sometimes we might get so mad and flustered that we know we shouldn't do something. We do it anyway because we're mad or whatever it is. But all of that leads to sorrowing, right? So we make mistakes. We get off track. And all you have to do to get back on track is repent of the fact that you got off track and start listening to his instructions. Start
right.
letting that angel, that voice that's speaking to you from within, from the word, from sermons, from life experiences, let that speak into your life and change you. That's all you have to do is just say, Lord, forgive me for getting off track. Forgive me for not trusting in you for every moment of my day. I got my mind off of this. Forgive me of that and start looking at his instructions, following that voice, following that. That's all you have to do to get back on track. Because you see, when you make a mistake, when you fall short, that doesn't change God's opinion of you one bit.
Right.
Right? You know, Brother Bam talked about how that science would make all these inventions that parallel the spiritual thing that was going on, you know, the automobile and astronaut and all that stuff. And we've talked about it before. You know, we have the GPS system, the global positioning system. And I've said before, a God positioning system, because in the natural, science has discovered the fact that from above, that you can receive instructions from above and it will guide you to your destination. Right? It'll guide you to your destination. And so that's a natural thing science has discovered, typing the spiritual thing that's going
right.
on, that we're guided from above.
Right.
From
right.
a higher realm.
Yeah,
from the
hallelujah.
From see, and so but what I wanted to was say to you is I said that God doesn't change his opinion one bit. When you're driving down the road, and let's say you're wanting to go to Big Meadows Lake in Colorado for the brothers, or Navarre Beach for the sisters, whichever, wherever you're going, if you want to go somewhere, put it in there, right? It's in there. And so my point is that God's got a place for you where he's taking you, right? In his GPS, he's got a destination for you. And you have that in that, and you take off, and you're following those instructions, right?
Right.
As long as you follow those instructions, everything's fine. But when you make a wrong turn, and you get off of that divine plan, what happens? You've got off course.
Yep.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
What does that thing do? Recalculating.
Yeah.
Right? What's it do? What is this word, this preacher, this sermon, what is this doing to you when you get off track? What does it do? It just adjusts itself just a little bit to help you get back on track.
Right.
The destination never changed.
Right.
You can think that you're going to be heading to Colorado, and you can take off east, and you can drive all the way down to the tip of Florida, and that GPS will still be telling you every bit of the way, it will still be telling you how to turn around and go to Big Meadows.
Right.
Right? The destination never changes.
Right.
So all you have to do is get back on track.
Right.
Just begin to let God lead you and guide you and follow that positioning system that he's given you.
Right.
Start working in your life, dealing with your heart. It comes out of the sermons that you hear and life's experiences. And so it'll get you there if you follow after it. Amen. It's a rather lengthy quote that I just felt like reading here just a little while ago. And so this is out of communion. See if Brother Brown will tell you the same thing. I was back there a while ago just looking over notes, and this come to my mind. And so, you know how his quotes are. They're a little bit chopped up, but if you've listened to communion, you'll know what I'm talking about. Brother Brown was saying, well, 40 years ago, William Branham isn't the same one tonight. I can say that about myself. Mm-hmm. Someone back there would say, well, he was a rank rascal. See, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham, and in their nature I was a sinner, and I came into the world a liar, and all the habits of the world laid right in me. But down in there, too, was another nature. That's what I'm talking to you this morning about.
Right.
No matter what you're going through, life, good, bad, whatever, if God's dealing with you, there's something else down there that's speaking to you.
Right.
You can't get there if it doesn't happen.
Right.
But if it is dealing with you and speaking with you, listen to it. Because God's going to get you where he's got a destination for you.
Right.
So Brother Rim said, laid down in there, there was another nature present, predestinated. It was there by God in the same body, two natures.
Right.
Well, I catered to one as it growed. I gooed as a baby. First thing you know, I became a liar, became everything else that's a sinner. Because I raised up that way. But down in there was a little speck of life all the time.
Right.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Right.
That's what I'm appealing to you today. That other voice. That's not the world. Not the things of the world. Not the fads of the world and all the things they're chasing after. That other voice down in there is, sometimes we refer in the scriptures, that still small voice.
Right.
It was a little speck there all the time. He said, I used to remember as a little boy sitting out there on the creek bank. And I'd sit there and look around at nighttime. Papa and Mom would be, they're gone on now to the rest. And in the days, they were sinners. And there was no Christianity in our homes at all. And oh, my drinking and parties and carrying on, it made me sick. And I'd take my lantern and my dog, and I'd go to the woods and stay all night. And in the wintertime, I'd hunt until the party was over, maybe daylight, or in the morning, I'd come home and it wouldn't be over, and I'd lay up on top of a shed and sleep and waiting for daybreak. Then I'd think of how that times I'd get my sticks and I'd put them down for a little windbreak there. If it rained, I'd lay there and have a little pole sticking in the water fishing, and my old coon dog laying there, and I'd say, look here, you know, last winter I camped here one night. And I built a fire right here when I was waiting for my dog to tree. And I had a fire here, and it was frozen 5 inches deep in the ground. But little flower, where did you come from? Where did you come from? Who came out here and planted you? And what house did they bring you out of, or what about it? Where did you come from? See that little flower? I'd say, well, why, it was frozen and everything. I built a fire here besides the freezing level. There was a heat element laying here on this, a big old log where I burned it here. And yet, here you are alive. Where did you come from? We all come from different backgrounds.
Right.
Some of us come through families with knives cutting one another and drinking lead out and everything in the world. We were talking the other day about my family on my dad's side, and on my mom's side, there's some renegades. We come through that. Brother Ram's talking about this. Look, here's this condition of a fire and freezing elements, and there's all these things that says that flower should not be there. But it is.
Right.
And you go through all kinds of things, and Satan is trying to snuff your life out, and he's trying to do this and trying to do that, and yet God's dealing with you. Where'd that come from? It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be that in a bunch of rotten families that God would raise up somebody that would be a son of God. Where'd that come from?
Amen.
It didn't come from the natural, from the guns and knives and stabbing and all that stuff. It doesn't come from that. Where did it come from? What is it that God's doing in your heart, in your life? Satan, you know, you look at it in the natural. Well, how can that be? It's because God put it there. Because he's the one that put it there. He said, where'd you come from? He said, what was it? There was another William Branham, see? A little spot of eternal life down there from the genes of God, the Word of God that was placed in there. Each one of you can think of similar things. See, it was working. Thank God for the working of that seed. So then I looked up at the trees and I think, Leaf, I seen you fall off last year, and what are you back here again? Where did you come from? What brought you here? See, it was that eternal life working in the body. Brother was saying that he began to look around and he'd see things in this natural life, and it began to speak to him and say, what about it? What's the meaning of life? What is all this? And when he looked out there and saw all of that, it caused him to look in here. And when you see all those things,
right,
you should ask you, where am I? Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Why in the midst of all this filthy generation we have now with everything in the world that Satan can come up with and Satan's eating to throw at our young people, and yet in the midst of all that, God's dealing with their heart. How'd that happen?
Amen.
Because it's genes of God.
Amen.
Right? And so my reaching out to each of you today is for you to recognize that gene of God. Recognize that's God saying, you're not of this world, you're my child,
yes,
and I have something for you. I have a place to take you.
Amen?
Amen. His opinion doesn't change. Amen. See, it was eternal life working in the body. And now then, one day, as I was walking on, and that voice said, don't drink or don't smoke, drink, and so forth. And the young fellows, and I got older, see, there was something moving. But yet, all at once, I looked up and I said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. There's something calling me like my little eagle. I'm not a chicken. There's something up yonder somewhere. Oh, great Jehovah, wherever you are, open up. I want to come home. There's something in me calling. Brother Ben said, then I was born again. We recognize that. Then I was born again. That little life that was laying there, the life of the water was poured on it, and then it began to grow. And now that old life was forgiven. Put in the sea of God's forgetfulness to never be remembered again, no more. Now we stand justified as though we never had sinned in the presence of God. Amen. That's God's program.
Right.
Amen. When you come to the place and recognize you're his child and you accept that, your sins are put away in the sea of his forgiveness. Now you're a child of God. And now you can grow and be under the blessings of the things of the Lord. This whole entire experience as Christians, we come to the place where we recognize all of these things. Our whole life becomes the prayer, right, of the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
To say these things, to know that, to have a right perspective on all things, this is our daily life, saying these things to God. Lord, just be with me. If I can just, you know, people want to do all these things. You hear people at work and they want to do this and they want to do that. And what burns in my heart more than anything else is, Lord, if I could just represent you somehow.
Right.
If somehow I can be you in this world, that's all I need.
Amen.
Sure, we need a house and a job or food or whatever. That's just the vehicle. But in all that, if I could just be him, why? Why is it like that? Because I recognize he's the only life worth mimicking.
That's right.
Right? It's not a mimic when he comes and does it. You understand? But he's the only life that's worth living.
Right.
It's the only life there is. There's only one form of life. It's the only one. It's him. That's all I want. And I trust that's the way you feel. That our whole day, every day, just asking, Lord, I just the struggle of fighting that good fight of faith. It is a struggle. It is a war. Right? Just saying, Lord, I just want to be you. I just want to express you. Amen. That's a cry of a Christian's heart. I trust that is with you.
Amen.
Amen. All you got to do is just get back on track.
Amen.
I found some questions this morning in the thing that I don't know if it was put there last night. If it was, I'm sorry I didn't see it, but I saw it this morning, and there was a question about that. Just get back on track.
Right.
Let God begin to speak to you, and he'll get you. It doesn't matter. He will get you to that destination where he has planned for you. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we love you. As we share these words this morning, Lord, we appeal to you and your great Holy Spirit, Lord. As a man can stand here and say these things, Lord, it takes your presence to speak them into the hearts of your people. And we just pray, God, that these words, you know, we understand that you would send your word, Lord, you would heal. And it's by your word that we're free. We're saved. Lord, if you don't save us, we won't be saved. If you don't heal us, we won't be healed. Lord, we know that you promised to do all these things, and we're trusting you. We're asking, Lord, that you would touch every life, every person, Lord, today that's here and would hear this through streaming. Lord, that they would stop and begin to analyze their own walk. And Lord, may you bring clarity. As I was saying Wednesday night, that, you know, when we get around in this revelation, it brings clarity to our walk. Lord, that you would bring clarity. That each one would understand that whatever they're going through, may the light of God shine before them today. Help them see, Lord, that it's your voice calling and working, drawing. It's not this world. Satan doesn't want to save them. Satan doesn't want their life better. But Lord, it's you. Just pray, God, that you would just minister to every heart, and let your word go down into deep earth.
Pastor, I belong.
know that we wanted to do a marriage enrichment weekend, and so we have that targeted for April 26th and 27th. So the ways out. We'll let you know more in a week or two of the actual plans, but it'll be Saturday and Sunday. So April 26th.